Listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories, which can be found at the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com, and it's also freely available as a download on iTunes. Today I'm really excited to visit again with a good friend that was on the podcast about a year ago. And I was interested in bringing her back because she's had so many changes in her life in a really short time. And it's also exciting. So, Dana, it's so nice to have you back today. Hey.
Hi, Pam. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to, you know, find out everything that's going on in your life and give you an opportunity to update us.
Yes, I am excited too.
Yeah. So to get us started, tell us or remind us who you are, where you're from, and what keeps you busy.
Sure. My name is Dana. I live in Chicago, and I am a newly centered director of a huge childcare corporation. Keeping busy besides working. I'm really involved in the National Stuttering Association lately, so that has been keeping me busy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've heard, but so first of all, you're a director now at a childcare center. Is this new?
Yes, it's very new. Like, it happened a couple days ago. I got a promotion. I was an assistant director for the last 6 months, but my job history, I have years of experience in this. So I got promoted. So effective Wednesday, I will be the center director of where I am working.
Oh my God, that is so cool. So how many people will you supervise?
Around 17 staff and 85 to 90 children.
Wow. And does everybody know you stutter?
Yes. yeah, I would say most of my staff do, because I did disclose when I first worked there, and then we had a professional development day in October all about inclusions. So I thought that would be a great time for me to share like a personal story that happened to me, like how us as educators, what we say to young children can affect you as an adult. Because when I was young, I had a teacher, I asked her a question, I think I was seven, and the teacher said, what? Like, she mocked me in front of the whole class. So I share that with my staff, on how we say things or what we say, can still affect you as an adult. So it was a huge bonding experience for me and my staff. Some of them were like, had tears in their eyes. I was trying to keep it together. But I think it was a good teachable moment for them.
Oh yeah, definitely. Sounds like that. And you're right. You know, something like that is like traumatizing, and trauma that happens with young kids absolutely carries over to adulthood. Sometimes we don't recognize why or what caused it, but it's certainly there.
Yeah. I think they're more patient with more patient. I've kind of explained, like, don't finish my sentences, but in a nice way. And you can tell, especially the staff that I'm like really close with, when they, like, you could tell they want to finish my sentences, then they'll just kind of back away and smile at me, which means to me that they know that that's not what they're supposed to do. So it's all good. And I've talked to since there are like 80 children there, I talk to parents every single day. Most of them, I think, know that I stutter, but then I've talked to some of them about like my work in the NSA and they're like, what, you stutter? So I guess it's a 50-50 thing. I'm not sure.
So why do you think some of them want to finish your sentences? Like, because they're impatient or they think that it would help you?
I think because they think it's helping me.
Mm. And anyway, you've set them straight. So they don't do it. Do the kids ever try?
No. No, but I work with young kids, so we start 8 weeks to 12 years old. So the more difficult age is like 9, 10, 11, 12, because they notice it more. Mm-hmm. I think I got asked one time, why do I say like so much or so much? And I'm like, because that's how I talk. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't going to dive into the whole stuttering thing. Cause I don't want to be looked at I don't want to label myself, and children label sometimes. And yeah. So it's like, that's just the way that I talk.
Yeah. I think the last time that you were on the show, you were still working as a nanny, right?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. So look at you now. Like, I know. And I think I remember when you were working as a nanny that you told me that you had actually talked about stuttering with the kids that you nannied for, right?
I believe so. When I would read stories to the little girl, she was probably three or four at the time. If it's a story that we read over and over and she knew the words because she was little, she can't read. If I was stuttering, she would like finish the word. but that's okay. I mean, she's little, you know, she doesn't know. But just working with kids, I've gotten feedback from parents when I used to be a teacher, because as some of us might know, like, children stutter sometimes in their early childhood stages, right? Like ages 3 to 5. So I have been asked in my past, like, so I've noticed my child is starting to stutter. Is that because you're his teacher?
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's not contagious.
Right. It doesn't rub off.
So, yeah, but I mean, and I did say, if they're gonna stutter, like, that's okay. Like, look at me, I'm fine.
And I also recall the last time we talked that you had just started an NSA, National Stuttering Association family chapter, right?
Yes, I did start a family chapter here in the Chicago suburbs. I my first few meetings were awesome. I had like 5 people at my first one, which is huge for a first one, but like, that's really been it. I've been trying to advertise, and I've reached out to SLPs in the area. But I'm not giving up though. Like, I still show up every meeting, and I'll have a meeting with myself.
Well, I think the purpose is, you know, in case somebody comes, there needs to be somebody there, you know, sure, ready to welcome and open the door for them. And you're becoming like expert at this kind of stuff. Like, I remember this past summer when we were at the NSA conference in Fort Lauderdale, I missed it, but I heard that you spoke up and spoke well at the first timers orientation.
I did. So if we go back to the conference of 2018, I just didn't want to be there. That was my first conference. And that's actually what we talked about on my first podcast with you. I just didn't want to be there. It wasn't for me. And you had said, just go to the first timers workshop and let me know. And I came out of that workshop like a completely different person. And so because I've had such tremendous growth in my speech journey, like a journey. I was asked to speak at the First Timers Workshop at the conference in Fort Lauderdale.
And you've been doing a lot of other things and a lot of other firsts, right?
Yes. Actually, like two weeks ago, I was a guest speaker at a junior college close to me. They're a class of SLP students, and they had an assignment to go out and stutter in public, and then I was there for them to share their feedback and their results. So I sat in the back of the classroom. They did not know that I was a person who stutters. So as I was listening to them share their, findings, they were upset. One person was like, "I feel so bad for people who stutter." One lady was crying, I don't know how people who stutter can get through life. And so it was emotional for me just to see it from an outsider perspective, I guess. And they were saying things like, I can't even imagine going through a drive-through and not being able to order, or going to Starbucks and going to the counter. So it's all things that I've experienced. So when they were done, the professor introduced me and invited me up. And I think I said, "Hi, my name is Dana, and I'm a person who stutters." And some of them, their face lit up, "Oh yay, we're gonna get the inside scoop." So I did a little presentation. It was just about my journey. And how far I've come now. And then we did a Q&A session, and I was an open book for them. There was nothing that I wasn't going to hold back. And there was a lot of interesting questions that I got. One was, does it hurt? And a lot of people, I guess, to fluent speakers, if you're watching somebody who stutters, it could sometimes look like we're straining or struggling. And I explained that it doesn't physically hurt. I said the only, well, for me, the hurt is the emotional hurt that we experience from people who are not so nice to us sometimes.
Right. Oh my God, I just had a thought in my head and it just completely left. Wait a minute. No, it's back. Why do you think the students had such intense reactions to being asked to do the voluntary stuttering?
Because they're not used to it. They're not used to being looked at as different, because they were explaining somebody said they went to a pharmacy and the pharmacist rolled their eyes at them because they were stuttering. So they weren't used to that. And a lot of them said that they were so anxious and nervous. They didn't feel good when they got a pit in their stomach when they were doing this. It's because it's not their normal. So I explained, because they were like, if I was a person who stutters, I would feel like this all the time. How can you talk to people? So I explain that this is my normal. So when I do talk to people, I don't want them to think that that's what I feel like every single day of my life, because I don't feel that way at all. I just think because it was they were going to be judged, and they weren't used to that. A lot of them they felt like they were being spoken to as if they had a lower IQ than fluent speakers. And I explained that every example that they had given me about their experience in the public, at some point in my life, I've experienced every single thing. And then I got the kind of kind of pity look, like, I feel bad for you. And I was like, don't feel bad for me. Like, this is me, and this is what I have, and I'm going to use it now to help and advocate and just promote awareness.
It seems like when students that are studying to become therapists are asked to do that, many of the reactions are kind of like universal. I remember when I was in therapy for a very short time, one of the students that worked with me and was asked to do that reported that she felt so uncomfortable because she was fearful that she was making fun of me. And I got that, but I also, like, I can appreciate, you know, it's like really the only way to really develop empathy if you don't stutter is to feel it and try it and but they're right, you know, like they can't turn it on and off, so it's a different experience, but one that I can certainly understand why professors do that and ask them to do it. I've never heard of a community college having communications and disorders classes. That's a first.
Yeah, I think it's really, really, really cool. So that whole day that I was there, like, was devoted to pure stuttering, because there's obviously other disfluencies that they're learning about, but that whole day was just like dedicated to stuttering. And I said to them, like, here's your chance, like, mm-hmm. you're getting it from the source, like, don't, like, if you want the real truth, like, ask me, don't, like, you'll learn more from me, I think, than you would reading a book when it comes to the emotional struggle and, like, all the different emotions that come with being a person who stutters.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you the only one, or were you part of like a panel at this class?
Nope. It was just me. I was their guest speaker for the day.
And you weren't nervous?
I was nervous. I was completely nervous. I went and sat in the back of the classroom, and I'm texting everybody that I can't do this, because when I spoke at the conference, I was speaking to people who stutter. So it didn't matter if I stuttered or not. This was a completely different thing, because it kind of brought back memories of me having to give presentations in high school, and it's traumatic. And but once I got up there and just started talking and keeping eye contact with people, then I was good. I was able to comfortably stutter, because in the very beginning I could feel myself trying not to. Then I'm like, you're here to talk about stuttering, so like you might as well stutter,
right?
So like after the first 30 seconds I would say that I was fine.
Wow. And you started at the beginning of our conversation, you were saying that you've been really busy with NSA stuff. I heard that you are like coordinating a new initiative with the NSA. What is it and what's it about?
I am the program coordinator for a program called Generations. It's a mentoring program. So what we do is pair up adults who stutter with kids and teens who stutter across the country. And it's been a lot of work, like more than I expected, because we didn't expect the amount of applicants that we actually received. So it's a lot of steps in this process, but actually on Monday I set my first pair free. I paired a girl and her mentor, and I've never felt that emotion that I felt that day, that they were both so excited to have each other. and just being thanked, like Dana, thank you so much for like doing this. If it wasn't for like for you, like this wouldn't be happening. At that point, the prior week, I had several conversations with moms and dads of kids who stutter, and like lots of tears and crying. I mean, parents are so hopeful now. Like they speak with me and hear that I'm a successful person and I live my life. And I just, I was told that I have given them so much hope for their children. Cause some of the parents felt like they did something wrong, or like, what did I do to cause this? And like, you didn't do anything. They were just born this way for a reason. And I explained why I was born with this for a reason. So I can give back and do this. So it's really, it is combining my love for children and my stuttering and wanting to help all together, in this mentorship, program, which is, it's like my baby.
Oh my God, it sounds really exciting. So how do you match somebody up? How do you match an adult with a kid up?
So they fill out applications online, and then I go through and see what their likes and dislikes are. Like there are people, let's say live in, I don't know, I like Idaho are probably going to like different things than a person that lives in New York City, right? Like, so just meaning it's more rural there. So we want to pair, like if they love animals and they love certain things, we want to match them up. A lot of mentors asked to have a specific age group, like they prefer older or middle school. Some are open to any. So we just, it's a very tedious process of just going through it and making sure that it's a good match. So I meet separately. I meet with the mentor separately, then with the mentee and the parents, and then we all meet together via video chat and, meet, and then they're off on their own. So it's an amazing program, and I'm so happy to be a part of it. So proud of myself, because like 2 years ago, like this was not me. I was so letting my stutter define who I am still, and now I'm able to take a hold of it as opposed of it taking a hold of me, and just live my life and do things like with a purpose now. Like I know what my purpose is. So I know that I've cried a lot in the last month doing this program because the kids are, the excitement from the kids and the parents, like I have moms just so thankful. So it just makes me really happy.
Now, are these kids that have already been part of the NSA?
So some have. So some have attended conferences, and some have not. Some just happened to come across or get like an email from the NSA because maybe their mom 2 years ago inquired about the NSA. There's some that have never been to a conference. There was one who has never like talked to another person who stutters. So when I was video chatting with her, I think she was like 11 or 12, like when she heard me stutter, it's like her face like kind of lit up, or she had this like relieved look on her face, and she was just smiling because she wasn't alone.
Oh my God. It just sounds so powerful what you're involved in. Why are the adults signing up? I mean, what do you think the appeal is for people that are signing up and want to be a mentor?
I think it's because when we were younger, we didn't have anything like this. Mm-hmm. And so it's their way of giving back. I know I would have loved to have somebody. I didn't have, I don't think I met anybody who stuttered till I was in my late 20s or early 30s. I mean, so, and like the, like I said before, the response has just been like, oh, like overwhelming, like just so many people. So I just think, we adults who stutter have been through a lot in our life and just want to share, that it's okay to feel what you feel, and it's okay to be angry sometimes. And, but again, don't let your stutter, hold you back.
So what are the parameters? Like, do they have to agree, like they're going to meet a set number of times, or, you know, and will you be checking in to see how it goes?
Yeah. So we're asking mentors to commit to a minimum of 30 minutes a month for 12 months. But I feel that it's going to it's going to be way more than that. And then I will be checking in. I think we're going to start with every 3 months. 'Cause I think by then they'll know if this is a fit or not, because
right.
I don't want them to stay together if one or both feel that it's not a fit, because the mentee is not going to benefit from right. from that. So the time that we're asking is so minimal, and I could just feel the energy that when I talk to the kids and the mentors, that they're like they're going to be talking way more. Especially with all the technology that we have, you could text or video chat or phone. So there's all these different types of ways to keep in touch.
Yeah. And is it gender matched? Like, are women getting girls and are men getting boys, or does it matter?
Yeah. So we're so far, that's what we have done. And I think it's, amazing. Like not, I don't want to discredit men or boys who stutter, but there's not a lot of us. There's not a lot of women, like women and girls who stutter. And I think that's what was emotional for me, was to see this young lady, she was 12, be matched up with this mentor and explained to the statistics, right? Like 80% of people who stutter are men. And I was explaining to a girl, we like to call ourselves unicorns because there's not many of us, and we're magical and beautiful. And 10 minutes later, she says, do you want to meet my daughter? And I said, yeah. So she came to the camera. She had a unicorn charm in her necklace, and I, tears in my eyes, because at that point she didn't know what that meant for me. So I then explained to her, so I love your necklace and this is what it means. And she wants to be a doctor when she grows up. And I said, are you gonna let your stutter hold you back? And she was like, no ma'am, I am not. And it's just amazing to see the confidence that these children have, because I sure didn't have that when I was 11.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. You. It's called generations. So, is it going to just be for kids as the mentees, or do you visualize that it might expand across generations?
Yeah, so we unexpectedly got some. So our ages from 7 to 17. Mm-hmm. We unexpectedly got some college students who want to be mentees. So they're around, I think one is 21 and 23. Yeah, so I think it all depends on where they're at in their journey. And so with that, I tried to match a more seasoned stutterer.
Oh, I love that.
a more seasoned person who stutters, with like a college student, then I'll try to pair up like my young adults, like 23, 24, 25 that are mentors with like the kids that are 9, 10, 11 and 12, just because I think for college students, it's better to get like realistic, like, okay, you're going to go out and get a job now. You're going to do this now. So these more seasoned people who stutter, I like that word.
I like that too.
Well, I didn't want to like use any other like descriptive because I don't want to like offend. So the more seasoned people have been through life and they've gone to interviews and they've done all this. So I think it's better to match it up that way.
And maybe at some point you can share with college students if you continue to get college age kids that are looking for mentors. You can also let them know that the We Stutter at Work program that I'm involved with offers mock interviews. And really, they would probably be most helpful for high school or college age students that are going to be experiencing that for the first time. So maybe we can like cross help each other out.
For sure. I would love that.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the reasons why I really wanted to just have you back is that I swear to God, Dana, you're like a completely different person from who I met a little more than, well, it's not even been 2 years. I met you in January in Chicago, so January of 2018, so not even 2 years. And you're completely different. Like, how does that feel when people tell you that? And do other people say, like, you're a completely different Dana?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel amazing. I feel like I'm finally am the person that I was supposed to be, like the person I was made to like to be. And I'm using my, I don't know if you want to, I don't call it a disability. I mean, whatever other people want to, but I'm using my challenge to help others. And if I can do that, it just makes me happy. So I feel really good. I think I gained confidence at the first NSA conference, and then that confidence just rolled off into the other aspects of my life. Like my career has shot up. I've lost weight. I'm like just out. Like I'm never still, which I guess sometimes can be a bad thing. But other people have said like you're a completely different person, and there are some people, because my life has completely, it's different now, they're having, I don't want to say a hard time adjusting, but they need to adjust at their own pace. Like even though I'm comfortable with the way I'm adjusting to my life, when I've been a certain way my whole entire life, right, like the more quiet one or like off in the background, and now I'm doing podcasts and guest speaking or going on the radio or doing a YouTube channel or like speaking at the conference, like that's not something that the old Dana would do. So like people in my life are just adjusting to that, I guess.
I remember years ago, I did a workshop, and it was like only like my second or third year into the NSA, and the workshop was called "Change Changes Everything," because when we change, everything around us also changes. The people are, you know, the people in our circles are suddenly interacting with us differently, and I think sometimes people don't realize that happens. Like when we change, it's not just us that changes. It's change changes everything. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. Your circle changes. Your dynamic changes. You see Like who, like who, how do I word this right? Like who's really there for you? Like for me, like people in your circle should want to see you rise and want to see you succeed. And like, there's just some things happening in my life now that are kind of, I'm kind of disturbed by like the lack of support, I would say, from some people. And I just have to I saw this thing on Facebook that said you did nothing wrong, my dear, you just grew, and they got mad. And so so that's I've experienced that like quite a bit in the last year. And like, that's okay. I'm happy. The people who are supposed to be with me, like at my lows and my highs, they're still here. And like, people come into your life for whatever, that saying like a reason or a season. And I'm now figuring that out.
I have a sign on my living room table. One of my, it says, grow through what you're going through.
I have that sign in my bathroom.
Seriously? The same, yes. The same thing? Oh my God, that is too funny. I saw it at like a craft fair, you know, something like that. And I loved it. I was like, I'd never heard of that before, but it was so fitting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, like, in the beginning, I was very like hesitant to truly shine, I guess is the word, but like, this is my time, like this is my time, and I'm going to do what I can, because I'm a giver and a helper and a nurturer by nature. So that's what I was put here to do. So that's what I'm gonna do. So like, I'm just really excited for like just things that are still going to happen. So yeah, I guess like you said, what was it? Changes things or something like that.
Change changes everything. Yeah,
it does. And I think for me, it's the again, the confidence thing. Like, people aren't used to me being confident, and like certain people, I don't know, like don't like it or like whatever it is. But I'm gonna like live my life and be like the new me that I should have been 20 years ago, but I didn't start my journey until I was 32 or something, and I'm 37. So I'm still kind of a newbie in this, but like, I don't feel it. I don't feel new. I feel like it's not the quantity, it's the quality. So like the quality that I have given and the stuff that I've learned from mentors in my life, like you being one of them, like just stutter and own it and accept it and live your life.
Mm-hmm. What would you say is the most exciting thing that's happened to you like in the last year?
Wow. I would say a lot of small things have happened that just like, I don't know, add to my bucket, if that makes sense, like fill my bucket. I was at the conference and this past conference in 2019, and somebody that I did not know came up to me and read my name tag, and they said, "Oh, you're Dana. I just want to let you know that I watched your YouTube videos, and I just want to hug you. Like, can I hug you? Because I'm not scared to go to the drive-thru and like anymore." Or somebody sent me a message on Facebook because they heard my radio interview that I did and said that same thing. He's going to order a pizza and he's not going to be scared if he stutters on the phone, and things that I said like are helping him to start his journey, journey. And somebody else at the conference came up to me and just said thank you, and like hugged me and had tears in their eyes. So It's been a big year for me, and it's just small things like that. Like I could say like, oh, being promoted to in my job, but no, it's all the little things that have happened that let me know that I'm doing the right thing and what I'm supposed to be doing.
Wow. Yeah, wow. Like, I'm so proud of you, and I'm happy that I've been able to be a little tiny part of this.
You're more than a tiny part of it.
Dana, thank you so much for coming on the show today. You're kind of like epitomizing like what can happen when you just own who you are and let it shine, and like you're like this beacon right now, and it's really cool to watch. So thank you again for being a guest today.
Oh, thank you for having me back, Pam.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.